Let's go, girls. Come on. I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling all right.
Hello, hello, and happy Saturday, and welcome into the Paul Cartman Show on News Talk STL. I am not Paul Cartman. You can probably tell that Paul is out on assignment this weekend. I think he's out of town, actually. But I am lucky to be filling in for him. If you are a regular listener to the station, you may recognize my voice because it's on here a lot. I'm Susie Moore. I am the deputy managing editor at Red State, and I am also a frequent guest here on News Talk. News Talk SDL and frequent guest host. So today they are being brave and letting me fly solo. Jeff Allen is he's a brave man or a crazy man, not sure which. I'm not really flying solo though because I've got the lovely and lively Leah Olmstead here in the producer's chair. I'm
Thank
sure
you.
She's going to help keep us aloft, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Well, let's go. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. We're going to get through this. You know, what's interesting is normally when I'm filling in for someone, it's on one of the longer shows, like 2.5 hours, 3.5 hours. And I always think, oh, are we going to have enough material to get through that stretch of time? And I like kind of worry about that. And then we get to the end of the show and I'm like, oh, okay, that flew by. And we didn't even get to like half of what I thought we were going to talk about. So today we just have an hour.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that we're going to fill that hour pretty well.
Oh, yeah. It flies.
It does fly. Well, because we're having fun.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Well, and we're definitely going to have fun in our second segment because we're going to be joined by a very special guest, dear friend of mine and coworker at Red State. Kira Davis is going to join us and talk to us all about her various projects, including her recent brave decision to get involved and run for school board in California. So that's going to be an interesting conversation, I have no doubt. And then in the third segment, we'll probably talk about some of the news, hot news stories of the day. Because I am at Red State, I am privy to all of the things that come across the wire kind of like simultaneously when they do. And so I get to see all the what's popping on the internets and in the news. And so I'm sure we'll have plenty to discuss there. You know, I was saying, obviously, I'm not Paul Cartman. I think everyone can figure that out. We have a number of differences between us. You know, Paul is a man. I'm a woman. We're still allowed to say that here. He's much younger than me, and he's a father of four. I only have one daughter. I know that that must keep him very busy. He served in the military. I have never served in the military, so thank you for your service, Paul. He served in the state legislature. I have never served in the state legislature, but I did work at the Capitol. When I was a senior in college at Mizzou, I was a poli-sci major, go figure, and I had an internship. And so mine was with a state senator at the time, Roger Wilson. He was a Democrat, but I was a Democrat then, too. So that worked out. And so I was there at the Capitol, I'm going to say like 3 days a week. And I mean, it was so cool. Like, that's where you go to work, is at the Capitol. It's really neat. It's a great building. If you haven't been down there and taken a tour, you should. You're missing out. So I would basically sit in his office and like log phone calls. And this was pre-emails, letters, phone calls and letters from constituents and like what they were worried about and what they were focused on. And we did have a computer, but this was pre-Windows. So it's like all just like DOS language entering this information in this sort of rudimentary spreadsheet. But he kept track of those things. And even at his he had an office in Columbia and I worked there one day a week. And even there, he would have me like go through like the local papers and cut out like birth notices and death notices and wedding announcements and stuff. And so he would send like a little note to his constituents for those things. So I thought that was kind of neat. He later went on to be the lieutenant governor of Missouri and then eventually the governor of Missouri when Mel Carnahan was killed in a plane crash because that was unfortunate, but Roger was next in line. So that was kind of a cool experience, but it's nothing like being actually there in the legislature duking it out with people. One thing that I think I might have done that Paul may not have done, I'm sure he cast many votes on the floor of the House when he was there in Jeff City. I have actually cast a vote on the floor of the U.S. House.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's something that guests get to do on the regular, if this was like really, really a no-no that I got away with. My folks and I took a trip to Washington, D.C. when I think I was 13, I was almost 14 maybe. And my dad's college or law school roommate was Congressman Ike Skelton. So we visited with him, and we were in his office when he got called to the floor to cast a vote. So he took me with him and took me down on the floor and let me push the button. So that was kind of a cool experience. I probably still have a picture of us standing in front of the Capitol, and kind of sparked my early interest in politics. So I come by it honestly, I would say. Leah, you and I follow each other on mm-hmm. social media, so I know from that you are into CrossFit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, just a little.
So I've never done CrossFit. I was a triathlete for a while.
My dad is triathlon.
Emphasis on the try.
Yeah.
there was a lot of training. It was very intensive, but I was doing like the short distance ones, not anything like the Ironman or anything like that. But it was, it was a lot of work. It was a lot of hard work, a lot of training, right? Running, biking, swimming, all those sorts of things. And I was in much better shape than I am now, for sure. But what is involved in CrossFit?
A lot. There's like a mixture of gymnastics and weightlifting and just like cardio. Mm-hmm. So, we do things that involve barbells and weights to handstand push-ups and pull-ups and like rings and muscle-ups to, running like miles and stuff like that. So it's
all
just a mixture. Yeah.
How'd you get into it?
It was an accident, kind of, sort of. I grew up playing soccer and softball, and I played through my first year of college mm-hmm. and just kind of dropped out. I guess I hit, like, the burnout.
Yeah.
Just, I played select, and it was just constantly every weekend.
That is very
then
demanding.
The pressure of college, and I just kind of hit a wall and just was burned out. So I dropped out, gained a bunch of weight, and I don't know how my dad did it. He found CrossFit. We go to St. Peter's CrossFit. He found it. It was like the cheapest place to go, and we tried it, and we all, well, at least me, I hated it.
I think any good training you hate at first.
Yes.
It's hard on you.
Definitely. For me, it took like probably a year or two before I actually started to like it, mm-hmm. and then probably it wasn't until like last year where I really got serious about it. And I'm like, okay, I'm decent at this. I think I'm ready to compete, and started doing more competitions. And
that's fantastic. That's awesome. No, that's inspiring. When I see your pictures, I'm like, okay, my idea of a workout these days is a long walk, but I guess it's better than nothing, but, I was doing yoga for a while. I really liked yoga. There's a neat yoga studio in St. Peter's that I liked, and I really liked the instructor. The problem is, first COVID hit, so that kind of put the kibosh on that for a while. But the class is like Saturday morning, and now my Saturday mornings are usually filled with volunteering at a dog shelter.
See all your pictures.
I was going to say, anyone who follows me on Twitter or Facebook knows that I am constantly posting pictures of dogs. No, those are not all my dogs.
Yeah, I was wondering.
I love dogs. No, it's the name of the shelter is Dirk's Fund. It's a large breed rescue organization. Originally, it was like a golden retriever rescue organization, but they kind of morphed into just large breed. And when my daughter was five, I bought a house, we had a yard and a fence, and she really wanted a dog, and I wanted a dog too. We had cats, and I love cats, but I love dogs too. So I knew I wanted a golden. I'd been around goldens. I had friends, family who had them, and I knew the temperament was probably right for a younger child, and I just liked their disposition. So a friend of mine from work mentioned she had a client that volunteered at this shelter, and so she's like, go check them out. So I did. I went online and looked at all the dogs. And, of course, they're all adorable. And then I ran across this one little scruffy-looking guy he was a golden, but he looked pretty much the worst for wear. He had not been well-groomed, and he looked kind of small, and he had this little wistful look on his face. And, of course, I immediately fell in love. So I went, checked him out. We ended up adopting Pringle.
Aww.
And when I was in the process of adopting him, they told me, they're like, well, he got turned in by the breeder because they said he was too small and too ugly to breed. And that sealed the deal. Because, he was on the smaller side for a golden, but he was like 65 pounds. He wasn't little. And he was cute as could be. So I was like, oh, no, that's enough of that. So we adopted Pringle, took him home, and I am telling you, he was the best dog. Got him when he was two. I knew I couldn't deal with a puppy because I was working full time. That was never going to work. He had never been in a home before. He took to it like nobody's business. Never had issues with him. I could leave him for 10, 12 hours at a time. He didn't chew things up. He didn't make a mess. I'd get home. He might be like crossing his legs because he needed to go. And inevitably, invariably, when you got to the door, he would come greet you with something in his mouth. He would either have like one of his toys or, if nothing else, a dish rag from the stove, because I guess that was the retriever. Like, he wanted you to know he was bringing something. Softest fur, just, oh gosh, the all-around best dog. And unfortunately, we lost him in the fall of 2019. He had some health issues and he was older. And so I knew I wasn't really prepared to get another dog at that point. I had moved to an apartment, so I didn't have a yard, and I was still working full-time. And so I thought, you know, what would be good would maybe be volunteering where I got him from, kind of paying tribute to him. So I started volunteering there, and I go every Saturday. It's down in Pacific, so a little bit west of Six Flags. So it's a little bit of a drive for me, but it's so worth it. I get all the dog love I could ever ask for, all the mm-hmm. dog slobber and fur that I could ever ask for, and then I get to go home and not, you know, have to worry about vacuuming it all up or taking them to the vet. So there's, you know, it's there's a benefit to that. Everyone always asks me, like, when are you going to get another dog? Not right now, but it's a lot of fun. And for anybody who's thinking about getting a dog, highly encourage you to check out Dirk's Fund. You can find them on Facebook, or I think they've got a webpage too, particularly if you're into large breeds. But people really need to research dogs before they go get them. That's what we end up, how we end up with a lot of dogs, because people don't research the breed and they don't really realize what all is involved. It is a huge commitment. It's a lifetime commitment for the dog's life. And so people sometimes, unfortunately, get in over their heads and then they can't handle it. So they surrender the dogs to us, and it's sad. But highly recommend, if you're looking for a rescue dog, that's a good place to check out. And I'm there every Saturday morning playing with the doggies. It's great.
And if you're looking for a CrossFit gym, St. Peter's CrossFit.
Right. See, look, we're giving free advertising here.
Exactly.
Oh, I shouldn't say that out loud. But anyway, yeah, that's a fun way to spend my Saturday, but it makes me not do yoga. So I blame it on the dogs. It's all their fault. That's where we are. What can you say? I don't know. So I know we're going to be coming up on a break here pretty soon. And then after that, we should be joined by Kira Davis, which I'm really looking forward to. I will give more details on her bio when we come back with her. And then, you know, for the end of the show, or the third segment of the show, probably just to be talking about some Red State stories. I was going to tell you something really funny real quick. Vic is so funny. I love being in here with him and being on the show with him. And he figured out when I put a Rumble of one of the shows in a Red State article, it boosts the views on the Rumble. So I did one with like a Tim Jones, Chris Arp show, mm-hmm. and it got like 18,000-19,000 views.
Oh,
on
wow.
It. Yeah, yeah. So Vic was jealous and wanted to be in one. And so actually, Kira Davis wrote an article and put one of his Rumbles in there, and it got quite a few views. And then I did one this week, and I think we're up to over 30,000 views on it. So,
wow.
You know, I was feeling pretty good about that. I'm glad to know I can help boost the station and get more eyeballs on the Rumbles and get more people listening to the station, because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think. Anyway. So he did threaten to call in. We might hear from him today. You never know. I know he listens to the station like all the time. So, Vic, if you're out there, appreciate it. Appreciate being on with you, and love it when you you and I get to go back and forth on Twitter and here in the studio. And then, as I said, for the third segment, we'll probably talk about what the hottest stories are now on Red State, because there's a lot of stuff going on. Even though it's a weekend and a Saturday, there's always news to talk about. So we will definitely be doing that. Appreciate y'all being here and tuning in. We'll be back after this break. You are listening to 101.9, 94.1 FM, News Talk STL. Mango condition, get a little out of line. Love, love, love that as a lead-in. You're taking me back to my youth, Leah.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. it's far in the rearview mirror, but I appreciate it nonetheless. Welcome back. You are listening to the Paul Kirtman Show on News Talk STL. I am Susie Moore, getting the privilege and honor of filling in for Paul today. And right now, we are also privileged and honored to be joined by a dear friend of mine, co-worker of mine. She is another deputy managing editor at Red State. She makes regular appearances on Fox News and is filled in for Dan Bongino and Tony Katz. She's got a podcast, Just Listen to Yourself, which is my all-time favorite podcast. I listen to it all the time. That's heard by hundreds of thousands of listeners. She is a Southern Californian, lives there with her husband and two kids, and she is a dog person, but tolerates cats from time to time. And she has finally gotten fed up with things and actually gotten bold and decided to throw her hat into a school board race. So we have all kinds of fun things to talk about with Kira today. Kira, thank you so much for being on with us today.
Hi, Susie. I'm so glad to be with you today, and it's wonderful to hear your voice on News Talk STL. You sound great.
Oh, well, thank you. You sound great, too. I know you are out and about today, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm walking for a candidate. It's primary season, and so I've got a candidate that I'm really excited about for our county board of education, something a little different than a school board. It's California, so we have like 30,000 layers.
I was going to say lots of layers, right?
Yes. So we can't get rid of the bureaucracy, so we might as well just fill it with good people. So I'm walking for my good friend, Mary Barkey, who is
awesome.
Running for Orange County Board of Education in Area 5, and she's been a warrior here in California, Susie, because we're still dealing with mandates,
oh my goodness,
masks, and possible school closures. We still are in a, quote, state of emergency, as declared by our governor.
Wow.
So, so she's been one of the people who has been on the forefront of launching lawsuits to release us from mandates and release us from the state of emergency. So I definitely got to support someone like that.
Oh,
yeah, it is
definitely.
It is crazy here. Like most of the rest of the country has moved on.
Oh yeah.
And it's for us, it's like it's still 2021.
Oh my goodness. No, yeah, we are living in a free state here in Missouri. But good on you for getting out there and supporting them. When are the primaries there?
June 7th. Okay, and then we've got, of course, generals and election in November, when everybody else does.
Got it. You know, I noticed, Kira, something very neat this week. You actually won an award this week for your podcast, didn't you?
I did. I won the Communicators Award and for an episode. It was an award, it was an award for best individual episode. You'll get a kick out of this, Susie. Best individual episode in the category of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
So, well, and here's the fun tie-in about that. That episode has a connection to this station, doesn't it?
That is right. It just so happens that I did an episode on reparations, and I was joined by the wife of one of your hosts, Mike Ferguson, Dr. Rachel Ferguson, and loved her. We had such a great conversation. So, yeah, that's a little St. Louis connection there.
Yeah, Rachel is so great. Long before I got to know Mike, I Twitter stalked Rachel because I love her Twitter timeline. Liberty Ethics, if you don't follow her, you should. She's so smart, and she brings up such interesting topics and from such an interesting perspective that I feel like every time I read her tweets, I get smarter. So I loved that episode, and loved hearing you two discuss and by my pretty much all accounts, a very kind of touchy subject. And yet you guys had like an amazing discussion about it. And I'm so glad to see that it got that award. That's awesome.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I just think it's kind of funny because it's clear that it was an award made for liberals, not really conservative commentators. So I just feel so woke now. Like I'm going to go put one of those hate has no home here signs in my yard. No, we are honored, though. I joke, but I am honored.
Because, that's great.
As you know, Susie, it seems easy to just talk for a living, but it actually takes a lot of work. So it's nice when people notice.
You know, I was telling Leah about that before we got started, because this is our first time working together in this capacity. And I was saying how, you know, when I was first starting out with podcasting, someone you and I both know, my former producer, Thomas LaDuke, mentioned to me, hey, you know, you probably want to have a co-host or a sidekick or somebody that you can bounce stuff off of, because just sitting by yourself and talking for like 30 minutes or an hour, only Kira Davis can do that.
Which is so funny, because it's like I was just born to talk. So even when I was a kid, my mom, I used to have a lot of health issues as a child, and my mom was a single mom. And so she would have to leave me at the hospital for days, even sometimes weeks at a time. And it became kind of like a second home when I was, you know, between the ages of 2 and 5.
Wow.
And the nurses on the wing apparently used to call me Gabby Jones. My maiden name is Jones. They used to call me Gabby Jones. They were like, you couldn't even talk, but you would just pull your rocking chair up to the nurse's station and just babble.
Oh, my goodness. I don't doubt that. I can totally see that.
Yes, I come by it honestly.
You do. Well, tell our listeners who haven't caught on to it yet, tell them a little bit about your podcast and what you try to do with it.
Yeah, well, my podcast is called Just Listen to Yourself. And, you know, I thought about it one day. I was reading like a bunch of ridiculous stuff on Facebook. I know this is a shock, but people put ridiculous stuff on Facebook sometimes. And I was reading ridiculous stuff on Facebook, and I was like, do these people even hear what they're saying? Sometimes I just want to tell people, like, just listen to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make a podcast. And so Just Listen to Yourself was born. And it's a podcast where I take hot topics, hot button issues, and I discuss the talking points on those issues. And I really dig into the talking points. And we draw those talking points all the way out to their logical conclusion. Because I think a lot of people, one of the reasons that politics is so heated is that a lot of people don't really know what they believe. They don't really feel confident. They have platitudes. You and I spend a lot of time on Twitter with our work.
Sure.
And, you know, 280 characters, you see people posting pithy, you know, clever things all the time. Talking points. They get like 100,000 retweets.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just talking points.
Right.
If you, for almost 98% of those people, if you ask them to elucidate on their talking points, if you ask them to dig in and explain, they wouldn't be able to explain it to you. They wouldn't be able to finish the thought. And I think that's not ideologically driven. That's just human nature driven. And so that's left, that's right. So I like to take these topics and I like to explore, draw the thoughts out to their logical conclusion. Sometimes I'm doing that as I'm going along. Sometimes I'm discovering my own thoughts on issues, but it's really a forum about persuasion and about digging into why you believe what you believe and being critical, you know, critiquing your own thoughts.
Sure. Sure. No, it's a valuable exercise. I listen to it. A lot of times I'm in the car for a long drive, and that is the best time for me to kind of like dig in and listen to what your topics are. And I know sometimes you do have guests too, and that's always interesting as well. But I love just hearing you like think through a thorny subject. And it, you know, it helps me understand why I think some of the things I do and question why I think some of the things I do as well. So I think it's very informative. I brag on it all the time and try and get people to listen to it. And obviously people do listen to it because you've got a pretty well-ranked podcast.
Yeah, I mean, in 2020, we were the fastest growing podcast on Spotify, and I do have a growing base, and it grows all the time. It's a lot of word of mouth. I mean, people, when I first started the podcast, I thought, who is going to want to hear me talk for an hour on what I think are really basic topics? You know, I feel like as a conservative, there are a lot of conservatives who already know why socialism is bad. You know,
right.
Am I just explaining something that everyone knows? But what I found was that people were starving for explanation.
Mm-hmm.
People know what they believe, but I think the biggest compliment I get is when people say, you know what, you said what I'm thinking, in a way that I just never knew how to say it. You say exact, and that's what I used to think when I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh back in the day, like, especially when I was making my journey from liberal to conservative.
Yes.
And I was like, this guy's saying the stuff that I think, you know, but I just never could put it that way before. So I think there are a lot of people out there who are just hungry for the most basic ideas to be explained. And I get a kick out of, like, that someone like you, who is so intelligent and so smart. Stacey Washington's another. She's a big fan of the show.
Love her.
Oh, she loves Stacey, and she loves Just Listen to Yourself. And she's like, oh, I'm a fan. I listen to it all the time. And I'm like, these are super smart women. I would say they're even smarter than I am. Like, how are they listening to me and getting anything from me?
Hey, birds of a feather, Kira. Birds of a feather, right? You also do another fun little podcast. It's seasonal, I guess. But you and another friend of ours, Amelia Hamilton, do another podcast. Tell them a little bit about that. I love this podcast.
Yes, we have a Hallmark podcast.
Yeah.
It is called A Very Merry Podcast. And before you listeners turn up your nose, we love Hallmark movies, mostly the Christmas movies, really. And we love to dig into them, and we would always talk about them, and we'd sort of be texting each other while we'd be watching the latest Christmas release. And then one day we were like, let's just do a podcast.
Yeah.
Like, we could just talk about the movies. And so we talk about all of the cheesy stuff. Like, obviously, Hallmark is cheesy.
It is.
That's kind of what we like about it. I started watching it because I love bad movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love to make fun of the Hallmark movies. But then what happened is I started, like, enjoying the Hallmark movies.
Yeah, you guys got me hooked on them. Now I'm like a total Hallmark junkie.
That's what you are.
All I ever watch. And it's all because of the podcast.
It's true, but we have such a good time. And, you know, tell me if you agree with me, Susie. I think that the thing about Hallmark is that you always know what to expect.
Right?
There's no surprises.
No.
Everybody has their happy ending, which is not happen in real life, and that's nice.
Right.
And it's always cozy. It feels like a warm blanket around your shoulders. It's not going to win any Oscars.
No.
It's just there for your enjoyment.
Although Palaha might have come close.
Oh, that guy's going to get his Oscar someday.
There's an episode about Christopher Palaha that, if you're a Hallmark devotee, you'll want to hear. Kira, we've only got about 2 minutes left, but before we let you go, I want you to tell everybody about what made you decide to run for school board.
Yeah, thank you, Susie. Well, just like every other parent across the country, I have been shocked and heartbroken by what has been happening to our children in our public schools, especially over the last 2 years, but even before that. And here in California, we have all kinds of weirdness going on, vaccine mandates and sex ed curriculum, just crazy stuff. You and I both have kids who are 2020 graduates, and so we know the heartbreak of how that year went. And I just thought, enough is enough. I tell my listeners all the time, you have to get involved. You know, you got to make yourself uncomfortable if you want to win. And I thought, it's time for me to put my money where my mouth is. I'm getting in the game. I've sat by long enough. So a seat came open on my school board, and I decided to run. I want to make sure that there is a parent on that board who represents my community, who represents me.
Yeah.
And the only parent I know for sure who will do that is me. So I'm
going to run.
Good
on you. Good on you. And I know it's been an adventure so far. And let's see. So your race will come up in November. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So
my race is in November, and I am fighting unions, and then I am fighting some establishment people. There are a lot of people who don't want to give up the school board easily. So
no.
I can use everyone's help. If you go and share my campaign, go to KiraForSchoolBoard.org, share my campaign materials, donate. I need to raise $100,000, which is absolutely ridiculous.
That is so crazy.
It's so crazy. That shows you, Susie, how invested the left is in our children.
It's true.
That
it's
they
true.
Will spend that amount of money to keep control over them. So we have to beat them. So KiraForSchoolBoard.org.
Awesome. And where else can people find your stuff on the social media?
Go follow me. Best place is at Real Kira Davis on Twitter. It'll take you to everything else.
Yes. And of course, your writing is there on redstate.com as well.
Obviously. Go to Red State. Read everything all day long.
Thanks, Kira. Have a wonderful rest of your Saturday.
Thank you, Susie. Have a great day.
All right. Well, that's Kira Davis. We're going to take another quick break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about all the news of the day. You are listening to The Paul Kirkman Show on News Talk STL, 101.9, 94.1 FM. I think we're alone now. The feeling of our hearts is the only sound. White shirt now with my bloody nose. I'm so glad we have live stream and people can see my goofy dance moves. Welcome in, folks. You're listening to the Paul Kirkman Show on News Talk STL. Again, I'm clearly not Paul Kirkman, and I don't know if we've got the same types of dance moves. I don't know if I've seen Paul's dance moves.
Paul doesn't dance.
Oh.
Paul would not have even known who that was.
I think, yeah. I think they were trying to convince him to join in on the Covfefe dance in the morning show, and
I can't even
he
imagine.
Wasn't having it.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Well, we're studying contrast. I'm Susie Moore. I'm filling in for Paul today. He's gracious enough to trust me with this. Hopefully, I'm not running his show into the ground. So I am here with Leah. We are taking you through your early Saturday afternoon. We appreciate you tuning in. I am on here as a guest frequently, and since I'm the deputy managing editor at Red State, we talk about Red State a lot. And many of the listeners are probably familiar with the site. If they weren't, they probably are now. They've probably gone and checked out some of the stories there, and we appreciate that, of course. But I thought it might be, somewhat interesting to give a little bit of background on really my working there and how that all came to be. It's been around since 2004. I think it was started by a couple different bloggers. Ben Domenech was one of them, and he's now at the Federalist and happens to be married to Meghan McCain. And then in like 2006, Eric Erickson got involved with it. And the site's profile kind of rose steadily, got to the point where you had kind of high profile candidates contributing there in the diaries. Rick Perry announced his candidacy for the presidency in 2011 at the Red State Gathering. So it's one of those websites that I've been aware of so as long as I've been kind of involved in the conservative movement. It's a good go-to with lots of mixture of news and opinion that, you know, is obviously conservative in nature. Although not everything we write about is political. We do some cultural stuff, some sports, that always kind of like winds people up that are there for politics and red meat only. They're like, why are you talking about sports? But no, we like to kind of cover everything. So I was a regular reader of Red State, and the guy who was the managing editor back in 2017 was a friend of mine. And I would notice, you know, as I was reading articles that maybe they could use a little help with copy editing because, you know, there'd be a little typos here and there, and I'm kind of nitpicky about that sort of thing. So I sent him an email and just said, hey, Caleb, do you guys need a copy editor at Red State? Because I feel like you might need a copy editor at Red State. And I wasn't sure how he was going to take that, but he was like, oh, wow, that would be great. Can you do that? Sure. So I started doing that, and then new manager took over, and he kind of added me to the senior editorial staff, and then our current managing editor, Jen Van Laar, is another longtime friend of mine. She's a great investigative reporter, and so she's got me and Kara as her deputy managing editors, and then there are two other editors, Brandon Morse, who oversees a lot of the media, and Joe Cunningham. So we are a five-person editorial team, but led by three women, and that is actually rather rare in the conservative sphere, so we're kind of proud of that. We're proud of what we do there, too. We cover the gamut. We cover, like, the hot news stories and analysis, opinion. We've got a cartoonist. So we do kind of cover the gamut. I wanted to just kind of touch base on some of the hot stories that are there even this morning. You know, the more to the point that just ran, and one of the big topics this week has been the baby formula shortage, which, as I think I said to Tim yesterday, I am so grateful not to be the mother of an infant right now. My daughter is 20, and when she was a little tyke, she had really bad reflux, so we needed a very specialized formula. I do not know what I would be doing if we were having trouble getting our hands on the right formula for her. You know, millions of people depend on that to make sure their babies are being properly fed, and to have this kind of hit as a shortage is scary. But interesting little development last night. On her last day in office, not in office, a last day at the podium, Jen Psaki, who we will definitely miss in that role, if for no other reason than because we like to gripe about all the various mistruths and misdirections that come out of her mouth. She was talking. She was asked about the formula shortage, and she mentioned that, you know, she kind of tried to lay the blame, at least in part, on Abbott, because the recall that was put into effect in February happened after several infants fell ill. Two got very sick. Two actually died. But the way that she said it was basically blaming it on because babies who died as a result of taking this formula. Well, the problem with that is that there's been a thorough investigation into Abbott as to the cause of, you know, the contamination and whether that actually caused these deaths. And Abbott fired back on Twitter with an 11-tweet thread saying, that's a bunch of baloney. So they didn't take too kindly to being accused by the White House press secretary of being responsible for the deaths of two infants. There's conflicting information as to why that plant hasn't been opened back up, but basically the FDA hasn't approved it. So while we are running into this shortage, we've got a government bureaucracy that is not apparently moving as swiftly as it probably should be to, kind of ramp up our production of this very vital product. So interesting little development there. I think in the past, I want to say month or 2 months, we have seen more pushback on the Biden administration from unlikely quarters than I ever expected to see. You've seen CNN and the Washington Post fact-checking the White House, which I never thought I would see. The White House put out a tweet earlier this week that basically said the vaccines didn't exist when Joe Biden took office, which was kind of crazy since we saw him and Kamala getting their shots before they ever took office. Mm-hmm. So that was just a flat out lie. And they were called out by both the Washington Post and CNN for that. Last night, Jeff Bezos, who's the owner of the Washington Post and, of course, Amazon, basically, you know, right up there with Elon Musk in terms of basically owning the world. He shot back and called Joe Biden out on Twitter. He took issue with a tweet that was put out on Joe Biden's Twitter. Now, I don't know that Joe Biden himself put the tweet out, but it was on his Twitter Twitter feed. And it said, "You want to bring down inflation? Let's make sure the wealthiest corporations pay their fair share." So Bezos took a little exception to that and shot back on Twitter, which is like the new form of communication. Like, world leaders are having it out with each other on Twitter.
Yeah.
Welcome to 2022. Anyway, Bezos shoots back, "The newly created disinformation board should review this tweet, or maybe they need to form a new non sequitur board instead. Raising corporate taxes is fine to discuss. Taming inflation is critical to discuss. Mushing them together is just misdirection." Interesting. Interesting. Definitely interesting, considering that not only is he a titan of, industry and a very wealthy man, but he is, as I mentioned, the owner of the Washington Post. So, they're one of the outlets that's part of what I would consider the legacy media, and more often than not tend to be providing favorable coverage to this administration. And cutting them a lot more slack than they certainly cut the last administration. So interesting to see a little pushback coming from that quarter as well. I got a note while we were here on the air from Becky Arps, the lovely bride of Chris Arps, said they are listening from Texas because Chris, as folks know who are listeners to the Tim Jones and Chris Arps show, Chris has been in Dallas for a conference. I think it's called the something Park. It's not Overland Park. I know, I'm forgetting it. In any event, it is a conference primarily of black conservatives, and they are there for it. And Chris was telling us yesterday when he called in and was on the air with us that he got the opportunity to speak with Justice Thomas, who was a speaker at the event. I think he was the keynote speaker last night. And I think Chris broke some news on the air yesterday because he mentioned that he asked Justice Thomas, you know, "I know you really probably can't talk too much about the leaked decision and the pending case. Obviously, justices cannot speak about a case that's pending before them. They just cannot." But he said, "Do you feel like the person or persons responsible for leaking the decision will be found and figured out?" And Justice Thomas basically said, "You know, we think we have a pretty good idea." So I know that there's just a finite number of people it could possibly be, people with access to that information. But I thought that that was interesting. It looks, even if the media isn't taking the leak aspect of it as seriously as one might think they would, the court is taking it seriously. That is a... that is a like a big no-no, a big blow to the court, to the, I don't know, to the sanctity of it, if you will. That's just not how they do things, and it's a betrayal. And so I think it's good to know that they are definitely taking it seriously and trying to get to the bottom of it. We had an article that ran this morning by Nick Arama here at Red State. So the title of it is Clarence Thomas Explains Just How Badly the Leak Has Hurt the Supreme Court. And in it, Nick details the fact that in his the remarks that he gave last night at this conference kind of gave, you know, gave the impression that this was a tremendous betrayal, that they're really, really concerned about it. It's the Old Parkland Conference. That's the name of the conference. He said, I wonder how long we're going to have these institutions at the rate we're undermining them. He also said, you know, it caused irreparable harm to the people's trust in the court. And he said, when you lose that trust, especially in the institution that I'm in, it changes the institution fundamentally. You begin to look over your shoulder. It's like kind of an infidelity that you can explain it, but you can't undo it. He also said that prior to this, the thought of a leak like this occurring, everyone thought, oh, that's impossible. No one would ever do that. Now that trust or that belief is gone forever. That's a pretty sad commentary. I mean, mm-hmm. whoever decided to do that, I'm sure they thought they were striking a blow for their cause and for, you know, presumably... possibly putting some pressure on the justices to not decide the way that Alito's draft opinion reads. I don't think it's having that effect. It sounds to me like, if anything, it's kind of firmed their resolve. And it should. I mean, they should not make their decision based on public pressure. They are supposed to be somewhat insulated that from that. They need to be insulated from that so that they can make their decisions based on the law, the Constitution, rational judicial reasoning, and not just based on the whims of public opinion. But it is kind of sad to think of the damage that has been done and to wonder whether or not that's going to be something that can be repaired. Folks, you have been listening to the Paul Kurtman Show on News Talk STL. I'm Susie Mora. I was very, very privileged and honored to be here with you today. I was very glad that Leah managed to keep us aloft. I'm thankful for that, Leah. You did a great job.
Oh, thanks. You did, too.
Very much appreciate that. We appreciate you tuning in, folks. You're listening to 101.9, 94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home.